Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This morning we have with us His Holiness Chandramali Swami. Chandramali Swami Maharaj was born in New Jersey, USA in 1947, and he came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in Denver, Colorado at the age of 24. In 1973, he began practicing Krishna consciousness in New York City, and shortly thereafter began serving at the New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. That same year, he received initiation from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And in 1986, His Holiness Chandramali Swami accepted the sannyas order and began preaching in Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio. In the early 1980s, he became involved with the ISKCON prison ministry in the USA and began visiting prisoners, holding programs in jails, along with writing letters to inmates and sending them Srila Prabhupada's books. This program reached the hearts of prisoners and enabled them to relate more to others and transform them inside and outside. His Holiness Chandramali Swami continues to travel to share the ancient Vedic wisdom and offer spiritual guidance to so many around Europe, USA, and India. Maharaj has also recently written a book called Krishna's Way, Natural Living. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for such glorious introduction to His Holiness. Devotees, if you want, you can please unmute yourself, announce your name, and I'll continue to welcome you all. Unless Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all our Guru Maharajas. Maharaj, if you'd be so kind enough to, sing the glory of Advaita Acharya today in this platform. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj, you can take the call over.
Panchakalpa Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare obeisances to all the devotees. And so today is a very auspicious and very holy day. It's a very day worth celebrating. It's a celebration of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as a devotee of the Lord in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today is the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. Panchatattva Mukham Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So these describe the five personalities in the Panchatattva. Pancha means five, Tattva means truth. There is the Lord's incarnation, the Lord's pure devotee, the Lord's energy, and the manifestation of the incarnation. So these five have come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's arrangement to uplift the conditioned souls in this age of Kali through the process of Harinam Sankirtan. Today we are honoring one of them, that is Sri Advaita Acharya. I'll begin with a beautiful expression of devotion, which is also known as the obeisances that are offered to Advaita Acharya. And this obeisances is given by one great Goswami called Dayananda Chandra, Dhyana Chandra Goswami. Nistarista Sesha Gyano Dayulum Premambitam Bhado Parimagna Chittam Chaitanya Chandram Ritam Architam Tam Advaita Chandram Sirasinamami Srila Dhaniya Chandra Goswami says, with my head at his feet, I offer my humble obeisances unto the merciful Sri Advaitacharya, whose heart is drowned in an ocean of praise. He delivers unlimited numbers of devotees and is honored and worshipped by Sri Chaitanya Chandra. That's a beautiful explanation of the glories in a very succinct form, in the form of obeisances. There's a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 6, verse number 5. Advaitam harinam duatam acharyam bhakti samsimat bhakta avatar ishatam advaitacharyam asraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Dvaita. Because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So just very similar to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is both the Lord and an incarnation of the Lord's devotee, all in one personality. He plays the part of the devotee of the Lord, but at the same time, he is the Lord himself. He is actually Mahavishnu. There is a statement by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, in this regard, and he says, Srila Prabhupada says, and I'll read it. The basic understanding is that Sadashiva is an expansion of Mahavishnu, and that same Sadashiva incarnates as Advaitacharya. Therefore, since Advaitacharya is an incarnation of Sadashiva, who is non-different from Mahavishnu, we can say that Advaitacharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. It can be said both ways, that he is an incarnation of Sadashiva or Mahavishnu, both. Because Sadashiva, in one sense, is inseparable from Mahavishnu, being the transcendental glance of Mahavishnu and the original Shiva within the spiritual realm. These are a little bit of understanding, because unless we understand the position, spiritual position of these manifested incarnations, we can take their activities as being ordinary or human. They appear in human form, but they're not human. They appear for a reason, to uplift the conditioned souls. Sri Advaitacharya came 52 years prior to the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was living in an area known as Shantipur. It's interesting, that area of Shantipur was when Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, was about to begin his mission of preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world. There is a time period prior to that where Srila Prabhupada would go every day to the temple of Advaitacharya in Shantipur. And unbeknownst to anyone, even the pujaris there, nobody knew who this sadhu was. He would come and sit in the very corner area of the temple, in the back, away from everyone, and sit and pray. And Prabhupada would do that every day for many days, actually, it was actually weeks at a time. He was preparing and praying for his success of his mission to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. It's very important to understand in our own practice of Krishna consciousness, the importance of praying to the great souls, to the Supreme Lord, for success in the execution of our devotional life, for the intelligence by which we can execute devotional service in a way that is in line with the parampara system of knowledge. We pray. We don't pray for anything material. We don't pray for getting relief from material miseries. These are not prayers offered by a sincere devotee. Sincere devotee always wants to please the Lord, and therefore, serious and dear to the devotee thinks of ways by which he can gain that mercy from the Lord, by which he can offer back to the Lord in the form of devotional service. It's interesting that there was one pujari who was noting Srila Prabhupada was coming every day. He didn't know who this holy man was. And later on, he found out in a very interesting way is that when Srila Prabhupada's disciples came to Shantipur, they came to that same temple. And they happened to talk to that same pujari. And then he asked, "Well, who is your guru?" And they had a Bhakti Godhead magazine with them, and they showed him a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And the pujari was amazed, astounded. He said, "That same person used to come every day to my temple and pray. He would sit in the corner, he would talk to no one. And he would do this day after day. And then at one day, one time, he was no longer coming. I was always curious, who is that person?" And then, of course, by the arrangement of the Lord, he found out that was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's connection with Advaitacharya also goes even before then, when he was a young man growing up in Calcutta. There was a drama, and the drama included many of the personalities that made up the Panchatattva. And Srila Prabhupada played the part of Advaitacharya in that drama, so much so that he invoked from the audience such emotional response that people were notably crying, watching Srila Prabhupada enacting the part of Sri Advaitacharya. Because we know Sri Advaitacharya is compassion personified. When he came to the material world before Lord Chaitanya, he was observing how people were so materialistic. Although they were in the area of Navadvipa, the Navadvipa was the bastion of education for the whole world practically at that time. But still, people who are noted spiritualists were worshiping demigods and performing other forms of ritual and pujas in order to get material benefits, which is very popular even today. People worship the Lord to improve their material situation, which is really not the purpose of worshiping the Lord. The purpose of worshiping the Lord is to get devotion to the Lord so we can become free from this entanglement of material existence and the suffering that ensues with that entanglement. And so Dvaitacharya was watching, observing the conditioned souls wasting their time with all of these demigod worships and other forms of worshiping. They were even worshiping cats and dogs and having marriages between cats and dogs. And there was a lot of useless types of ceremonies going on in the name of spirituality. He was becoming quite unhappy seeing the conditioned souls living like that. Hardly at that time there were any devotees of the Lord there. Him, Srila Haridas Thakur was there, and Srivas Thakur, Mukunda. There were a few who had come before Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And they would get together and have their own little satsang, but the majority of the people weren't interested in devotion to the Lord. So Advaita Bhattacharya was becoming very unhappy and even a little angry seeing how they were doing. So he was going, it says that he thought better they all died than not live the way they are living. But then he thought, actually, this is the job of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. So he went every day to the banks of the Ganges River in Navadvip, sat on the bank, made a beautiful mound, installed a Shiva Linga there, got flowers, sandalwood paste, and with various types of prayers, calling very loudly, and of course, tulsi leaves. He was offering tulsi leaves, sandalwood paste, and flowers to the Shiva Linga, praying to the Lord, please come and save all of these conditioned souls. This is the work for you. So it mentions that Lord Chaitanya appeared in the world for three internal reasons and three external reasons. The three external reasons were, one was the loud callings of Advaitacharya in his mood of compassion to bring the Lord to the material world to save all of the conditioned souls. And that was one of the three reasons. And so he continued this day after day. And he would throw the sandalwood paste, tulsi leaves, and flowers into the Ganga. And those flowers would float down into the bathing ghats where people were during that time. Also, Sachimata at that time, who was pregnant with many young girls, she was also bathing at that time. But you might say, fortunately or unfortunately, she was having a miscarriage, and she had eight miscarriages, one after another, and they were baby girls each time. And so she was always coming and praying. And then, of course, the next pregnancy was, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sarup, who was the older brother of Lord Chaitanya. But the loud calls brought Lord Chaitanya down. And it describes, we'll be describing that more as it gets closer and closer to Gaur Purnima, how the Lord arranged for himself to appear in that area of Navadvip during a solar equi I'm sorry, a lunar eclipse. When everyone was going to the banks of the river and taking bath to counteract the inauspiciousness of the lunar eclipse. And they were also chanting. So the Lord actually appeared during apparently an inauspicious time, but he made it auspicious by his appearance, and everyone started to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in order to counteract the inauspiciousness of the lunar eclipse. But they were actually welcoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared not as the Supreme Lord, but as a devotee of the Lord. So Sri Advaitacharya and his wife, he had two, one was Sita and one was Sri. They were the consorts. He had two wives and he had six children by those two wives, most of them by Sita Devi. And he would come along with his wives, mostly his wives would come just to see the new baby. And Advaitacharya always knew that that personality who has appeared in the home of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra was none other than Krishna himself in his incarnation as a devotee of the Lord, which was the same as Advaitacharya. Both came as a devotee of the Lord. And throughout his pastimes with the Lord, as the Lord was growing up, he always wanted to be in the mood of serving the Lord, although he was both older than the Lord, and at the same time, he was the Lord himself. But Lord Chaitanya, who knew the identity of Advaitacharya, would never accept worship from Advaitacharya. And so that would cause Advaitacharya a very great unhappiness. He wanted to worship the Lord, but the Lord would not allow it because the Lord, as Mahaprabhu, always felt that he was the Lord himself, Advaitacharya. And so then Advaita decided to make a little plan to get the Lord to actually accept his form of worship. And he did a very interesting thing, and sometimes it says it's quite outlandish what he did, but he did it. And then what he did is that he started to go in the evenings to hear discourses on one scripture called Yoga Vashishta. Now, Yoga Vashishta is a scripture that talks about deductive knowledge and empiricism. And then Advaita started to expound the philosophy he heard that before you can understand bhakti, you have to have the eyes to see bhakti. And therefore, empiric knowledge is the process by which one can see the process of bhakti. Bhakti is like the mirror, and the empiricism is like the eyes which see and is reflected in the mirror. And so he started to preach like that. The word got back to Lord Chaitanya that Advaita was doing this. And the Lord became very pensive. He was thinking, why is he doing this? I came here. He knows why I'm here, to preach devotional service to the Harinam Sankirtan. And he's talking about empiricism and deductive knowledge as being more important or a prelude for understanding bhakti. The Lord was started to think. So one day, when Advaita was living, staying in Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, "I think we should give a visit to Advaita." So they both came, and it's described that they were walking through the streets of Navadvip, and they looked like the sun and the moon. As they were walking, everyone was looking at them and saying, "Oh, where are we? Are we on the earth planet or in the heavenly planets? Such personalities do not appear in the earth planets as such as them." So they were looking at Lord Chaitanya and Lord Yananda. So after some time, they started to head following the Ganges towards toward Shantipur. And while they were walking, there was a hut that Lord Chaitanya noticed, and he said to Nityananda, "Oh, that is a very, very nice looking hut. Who lives there?" And Nityananda said, "Well, there's actually one sannyasi. He lives there." "Oh, a sannyasi. Wow, we should get his blessings. So let us go." So they went inside the hut. And there was this elderly personality. This was in a place called Lalitpur. And they came in. There was an elderly gentleman there. And they sat down. And they thought, what should we should ask him some questions. That is the business when you come to a guru or a sannyasi. You ask questions relevant to spiritual life, not that you sit there and ask, well, how are you? And what's happening? And what's the latest news? No, you just waste time. That's not the purpose of coming before a saintly person is to get guidance, practical knowledge, transcendental understanding on the process of devotional service. So they sat there, and then Lord Chaitanya said, actually, what is the goal of life? So he said that to the sannyasi, he asked him, what is the goal of life? And the sannyasi immediately smiled, said, thank you for your asking this most important question. The goal of life is to enjoy this world as much as possible. Lord Chaitanya started to make a funny face. He looked at Lord Nityananda and they didn't know what to say. And then Lord Chaitanya responded. He said, actually, the goal of life is to become self-realized and liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And the sannyasi started to become a little bit annoyed by Lord Chaitanya's response. He said, just see, this is the symptom of Kali Yuga. These babes that have just come out of their mother's womb are teaching us what is actually the purpose of life. And so Lord Nityananda saw there was about an argument was about to ensue. So Lord Nityananda said, actually, well, we should have some refreshments. So he turned to the sannyasis. Can you get us some refreshments? And the sannyasis immediately said, yes, actually, we have just finished our cooking and we have some nice food to offer. So he went in the back and then he came out and then he called for someone to bring it out. And it was a lady who was somewhat of the same age as the sannyasi. So she brought it out. And then Lord Chaitanya said, well, who was this lady? And he said, well, that is my wife. So he was a sannyasi with So Lord Chaitanya became bewildered again. And then he said, well, actually, you know, I'm not really so much hungry. Why don't you just bring him some refreshments? Okay. Actually, we have some nice refreshments. Actually, would you like some bliss? So he said to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, would you like some bliss? And they looked at each other and they went back to what is bliss? And then he came out with a bottle of intoxicating beverages, wine. He said, this is bliss. Then that was the end of that. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda just got up, turned around, ran out the door, and jumped into the Ganges with their clothes on to get purified from that type of association. After some time, they got up, dried themselves off, and continued on their way to Shantipur. Soon they arrived in the house of Advaita. They came to the area where Advaita was. Advaita was sitting with his wife, and Srila Haridas Thakura was also there. And when Lord Chaitanya stopped and he saw Advaita, he became like the Lord Nrisimhadev seeing Hiranyakashipu. He became so angry. And with full speed, he got up and ran to Advaita and started to beat him with his fists. Haridas Thakur started to laugh. But Sita Devi, his wife, she said, my lord, stop, stop, stop. He's an old man. You'll kill him. Lord Chaitanya couldn't hear anything. Finally, he stopped and then he looked at Advaita. Advaita was enjoying being beat by the Lord Chaitanya. He looked at Advaita and he said, what are you doing? You know why I've come. Why are you preaching this impersonalism? And then the Dvaita state is full of obeisances. Then he said, "Thank you for accepting me as your disciple." So he did this whole thing just to get the Lord to accept him in a subordinate role, because you don't beat your spiritual master. And of course, we don't beat the disciples either, but sometimes we feel like it because they're all not. Sometimes the disciples are nonsense, but anyway, that's another thing. So, Advaita was really happy, and then he went on. Another time, in another incident, Lord Chaitanya received a note. In that note, it had two statements. He said that the Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has a debt of 300 rupees to the king of Puri. When Lord Chaitanya read that, he became very unhappy. He's thinking, who is this writing this? How is it possible that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can become a debtor? And it was written by one of the disciples of Advaitacharya. And he called him later on, Lord Chaitanya called that disciple and chastised him. He says, "You're so foolish. How could you say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an ordinary debtor like everyone else in this world?" And he chastised him very strongly. So one thing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wouldn't tolerate nonsense based on philosophy. He was very strict that the philosophy and the practice be done according to Shastra, towards Guru. He wouldn't accept any kind of new ideas or deviations in the name of some creative way to improve the process or somebody's mental speculation. One time, Advaita was with all of the disciples, and Lord Chaitanya was not there. And he called all of the followers and he said, "Now we're going to have a kirtan, and that kirtan we're going to sing Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana." And then he didn't wait for the followers to agree or not agree. He started the kirtan himself. And finally everyone started to join him, but they got a little bit reluctant because they knew that Lord Chaitanya did not like to be glorified in public. Although he was the Supreme Lord, he played the role of a devotee, and anytime anyone would call him the Supreme Lord, he would block his ears and say, no, I'm simply a disciple, a devotee of the Lord, I'm not the Lord." So, but Advaita one wanted to glorify the Lord, and so he started encouraging and pumping the devotees, "Come on, chant Jai Sachinandana." So they started to chant. After some time, Lord Chaitanya, from a distance, he heard that there was a kirtan going on. So then he decided to go. And as he was walking closer to the kirtan, he started to hear what they were chanting. And then he got close and he thought, "Why are they not chanting Krishna's name? Why are they chanting that?" And then he became unhappy and he turned around. When the devotees saw that, they stopped. But Lord Advaitacharya said, no, continue to chant." So some of them continued, some of them didn't. And Lord Chaitanya just left. He went back to his room, closed the door, and went to sleep. After some time, Srivas Thakur came to his place. And it was this time, it was around early in the morning. The sun had just arisen. And Lord Chaitanya came out to meet Srivas. And then Srivas was standing there with Lord Chaitanya, He was holding his hand above his head as if to block something from the sky. And Lord Chaitanya became curious and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm blocking out the sun." Lord Chaitanya said, "You can't block out the sun with your hand. It's not possible." And then that was all he needed to hear. And then Srivas responded by saying, "Yes, I cannot block the sun, but in the same way, you cannot hide yourself from us." So, and Lord Chaitanya remained quiet, didn't say anything. So this was an example of that particular pastime. So Adaitacharya, at one point at the towards the end of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, or what he felt was the end, he sent a coded message that, there's plenty of rice now in the marketplace, and people are no longer interested in buying. So all that message got back to Lord Chaitanya. I'm not exactly sure how that particular coded message came, but it was about rice in the marketplace. There's no more demand for rice in the marketplace anymore. So Lord Chaitanya understood, yes, he has called me, now he is sending me back. And of course, right after that, Lord Chaitanya disappeared from the planet. So Lord Advaita was very instrumental in many of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Advaita had six sons. Three of them actually became devotees, and three became impersonalists. It's interesting. How is it that a personality such as Advaitacharya, he could have six sons, three of them devotees, and three are impersonalists? You see that even Krishna, when Krishna picked up the earth in the form of Varahadev from the Garbhodak ocean, he impregnated the earth, and a child came out, which was known as Bhoma. So Bhoma was actually the son of Varahadev, Supreme Lord. But he got into bad association and became a demon. And later on, the Supreme Lord killed his own son, Bulbasaur. He was a powerful demon. So we see that, Lord, even Dvaita had six sons. Three were devotees, and three were non-devotees. Krishna Das and Achyutananda were the prominent devotees who were one of the prized sons of Advaitacharya, especially Achyutananda. Excuse me. There are many pastimes. There's a whole book called Advaita Prakash, which is the pastimes of Advaitacharya when he appeared on this planet. So that was done by Ishana. And that book is available. You can take some time and find the book and read it. It's all about the pastimes of Advaitacharya. And so, and of course, Lord Chaitanya spent much time in the house of Advaitacharya when he was on his way to Jagannath Puri. He stayed there for a month. There were many wonderful pastimes as the devotees came to see Lord Chaitanya before he departed for Jagannath Puri. And one time, Advaitacharya cooked this huge feast for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya looked at it and said, "I can't eat this. Just give me some boiled vegetables, that's all." And the Advaitacharya was taken aback. He said, "Every day you're eating 56 offerings in Jagannath Puri, and now this is just a small little portion. So don't give me any reasons. And so, but the Lord Chaitanya wanted to, he was playing the role of a sannyasi at that time. He wanted to exemplify the mood of renunciation, so he asked for some simple vegetables. But Advaitacharya wouldn't accept it. Nityananda was also there. Nityananda. And then Advaita also offered to Nityananda. And Nityananda said, "Why are you giving me this? I've been fasting for 3 days, and now I can see what you give me here. I'll have to continue my fast." So there was an exchange between Nityananda and Advaita, which was sort of a loving fight between the two of them. That's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How they were going back and forth, chiding each other, but in a loving way. So there were many wonderful pastimes. So I'll stop there and see. I mean, there's much more we can say about Advaitacharya, many more stories and pastimes. But we'll stop there and see if there's any comments, questions, anything about Advaitacharya, any questions about the process of devotional service.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all our Guru Maharajas. All glories to the wonderful glories of Advaita Acharya. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for sharing all the details and the pastime. Yes, there are a few questions that I have, Maharaj. So when we understand that Advaita Acharya is non-different from Lord Krishna, he's Sadashiv and non-different from Lord Krishna. When we do japa, Maharaj, we read an offense that we should not take Lord Shiva's name as equal to Lord Vishnu. So, how should we understand that? Should we think of it as like achintya bheda bhed? Or.
Well, in the sense that no, we're not chanting. We're chanting Krishna's name when we chant japa. Advaitacharya is none different than Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, which is an incarnation. We're not chanting about the incarnations. We're chanting the Supreme Lord's name. So, although he is the Supreme Lord, he's Mahavishnu. He's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. He's an expansion of Krishna in the form of Vishnu, bringing about the creation of the material existence.
Yes.
When we're chanting japa, we are chanting the glories of the holy name, so which is non-different than Shri Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. So when so once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met with Advaita Acharya, did he stop like preaching impersonalism henceforth?
He did that. Actually, there is one particular pastime where the Lord actually allowed him to worship him. Along with his wife, they brought all of the ingredients, and with the Lord sitting on his throne, they bathed his feet, offered him nice prayers, and at the same time offered garlands and various other sacred items to Lord Chaitanya. He actually allowed Advaitacharya to worship him at one point.
Very nice. Maharaj, a couple of more questions, please. So, when Advaita Acharya was praying to Lord Krishna to descend on this earth, we hear from you that he was offering tulsi leaves on Lord Shiva's Shivalinga. How should we understand this? Because when we go to the temple, we hear that tulsi leaves are only to be offered to Lord Vishnu's feet or Krishna's feet. But here, Advaita Acharya offered it to Lord Shivling.
Interesting. Maybe he didn't offer tulsi leaves, but he was offering flowers and sandalwood, right?
Probably. Yes.
Tulsi leaves are also there in the worship, but I may have the details a little bit less correct, but He established the Shiva Linga and he started to worship in that way.
One of the
So,
devotees, right? Was it Shaligram Shila or was it like Shivalinga?
oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was a Shaligram Shila. It wasn't Shiva Linga. I was wondering, yeah, it doesn't make sense. It was a
Yes.
Shaligram Shila.
Yes. Thank you, devotee. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, one last question. So when Advaita Acharya descended, he had two consorts, right? Sita Mata and Sri Mata. Are these the energies of Mata Parvati?
They are spiritual energies, but I'm not sure of their particular position. To say that they are energies of Mother Parvati would be complete speculation.
I see.
I don't know exactly. You'd have to do a little research. You mentioned Sita Devi as being like the goddess of fortune.
I see. Okay. Right.
You don't hear about his other wife so much, but you hear about Sita all the time.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much for sharing the wonderful stories and making it so personal for all of us and making it so relatable. And it will help us chant even better, hopefully closer. Devotees, do you have any questions? Please feel free to unmute yourself or just, raise your hand. I should be. Yes. Sri Isho Upanishad Mataji, if you could kindly go ahead with your question, Mata.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my obeisance. All glories to your divine service. Hari Hari Bol. Maharaj, you are wonderful when you're sharing these wonderful pastimes. My question is, it appears that Lord Chaitanya was never served by females. Or if he was, that he was always served by his devotees' wives or something like that. Are there any females besides the wives that were around Lord Chaitanya, Sri Advaita, during that time,
When he took before he took sannyas, he was married. Lord
Yeah.
Chaitanya was married before he took sannyas, and he was married twice, Lakshmi Priya, and then she left the world prematurely, and then he got married to Vishnu Priya. But after he took sannyas, he was very strict. He says that Prabhupada said no woman would come near him, not even the wives of his disciples.
So when you're telling that pastime about when he visited it, this disciple's, not his disciple, but a sage's home, and he served him bliss, was it because that he, and they offered him food, was it because his wife was a female that they didn't receive it, or was it because that they didn't know what the purpose of life was?
And because there was everything contrary, they could see that this person who posed himself as a sannyasi was not a sannyasi. And he was talking about he was a materialist in the dress of a sannyasi, that's all.
Yes.
So they wanted to get out of there, and they did last.
I was wondering why he just, since this is the Lord, he knows everything in Nityananda, they were aware of him. I was wondering just what was the purpose of them even, visiting? Was he just trying to bring something to the attention of the world or,
Yeah, obviously you can show when you have to understand what is not when you under before you can understand what is. If you understand what is, but you don't understand what is not, then you can mistake for what is not as being something similar to what is. So, although he was apparently in the role and by name only as a renounced person, he wasn't.
Jai.
There's a lot of that today. But about the female thing too, there is an interesting episode. This was Lord Chaitanya. When actually he went after he took sannyas, he went to the Jagannath temple. He was standing by the Garuda Stamba, and which is a distance away from the deity, and he was taking darshan of the deity from the Garuda Stamba. There was one elderly lady, she was just a little mendicant lady who came. She wanted to see the deity, but she was so small, so she climbed up on the Garuda Stamba and put her foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder. When Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant, saw that, he immediately pulled her down. And then she realized, oh my God, I committed an offense. I put my foot on this sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya chastised Govinda by saying, if I had as much devotion for Lord Jagannath as she had, then I would be, I would be back to the spiritual world. So he didn't take offense, although this lady, elderly lady, she put her foot on his shoulder, but it was only due to wanting to see the deity. She became so absorbed in her activity, she didn't think about what she was doing.
Howdy, Bo. Howdy, Bo.
So
One
then,
more thing, Mar. I'm sorry.
yeah.
One more thing, Maharaj. Are there any books on female or Vaishnava saints, females?
Oh yeah, there's many.
Can you name a few?
Well, there ain't, you can't find them too much in the West, but they're in. Lord Srila Prabhupada's disciples were all female saints.
Yes. Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. I was talking to Malati, Her Grace, about that,
Yeah, these are saintly ladies.
Saintly ladies, of course. Hey.
Many of them, yeah.
Hari Krishna Maharaj.
There are ashrams in India that there are ashrams in India that have ladies who live there in the ashram. They are renounced, but usually they're from other sampradayas, not from us. Ladies become saintly in our movement. They put on white when they retire from their grihastha life, and then they go to a saintly place and just live their life out worshiping the deity and performing spiritual activities, mostly chanting. So we don't have any formal program for ladies.
All right, Maharaj. Anyone else? I'm sorry, I just didn't want to take up all of your time with all of my questions. Thank
Nice.
you, Hari Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, for your wonderful questions, and thank you, Maharaj, for such sweet answers. We have one question on the chat by Bharati Mataji. She offers her respectful obeisances to you, and her question is, why did Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear in an inauspicious time as Lord Chaitanya? In every other incarnations, Lord appeared in a very auspicious time.
Yeah, well, because people were going to the banks of the Ganges to counteract, and then they started to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to counteract the inauspiciousness of the, or to be protected from the inauspiciousness of the solar eclipse. So Lord Chaitanya got everyone, he came to get everyone to chant. And they were doing it.
Wonderful.
They were doing it not as a glorification, but just to counteract the inauspiciousness of the solar eclipse, of the lunar eclipse.
Wonderful explanation. Thank you so much, Maharaj. One quick question from Radha Jyoti Mataji. She's requesting if you could kindly share with all of us how to pray to Lord Advaita every day.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva. There are prayers called Advaita Astikam. These are eight prayers in glorification of Advaita Acharya. If you like, I'd be happy to send you the prayers. We call it Advaita Astikam. I can
Yes.
send it. Now, Nina, send me your, I think I have your email, don't I?
Yes, Maharaj. I'm going to send you a text. You can respond and I can share it with Bhakti Sangha or Vinita Mataji and they
Now,
can
just
share
write,
it.
if you just write, just put your email in the chat and I can see it. Then I'll send this thing to your email. Okay, let me write it down here. Oop, bring it back up. Bring it back up again.
Mataji,
do you see? Oh, okay, sorry. So Nina, which is NINA underscore Chakrabarti.
Mataji, we are on video recording, so.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we got it.
Sorry, Mataji, you're so right. Thank you for looking out. Shukakara Prabhuji, do you have a question for His Holiness?
Thank you, Nina Mataji. Hare Krishna, Chandramouli Maharaj, please accept my recommendations in your lotus feet. All glory to Prabhupada, all glory to Your Holiness. Maharaj, this Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of both Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. No? Is it that 50-50% like that? He is also Shiva as well as... Is
yeah.
It 50-50% like that? It is together combined. He means both of them together. Mahavishnu and...
Yeah, Sadashiv. Srila Prabhupada mentions that. And he says, you can take him. He says, it can be said both ways. He is an incarnation of Sadashiva or Mahavishnu. Either way.
Oh.
So he's a combined incarnation.
Actually, he wanted to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He prayed, I think he did a lot of Saligram Puja when he was young, I mean, giving tulsi and water. And then he was trying to respect Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu got annoyed. No, he said, no, you are elder to me. Then I think he went and preached this Advaita philosophy and Mahaprabhu chastised him. Is that, that so that he got... been shouting for Maharaj. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, I told the story. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the story.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much. Seek your blessings, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your question. And thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful answer. One question from Divya Mataji. She's asking, Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I am new to Krishna consciousness in Bhagavatam. So I wanted to ask that what is that? Is Paramatma having a form? Is Paramatma equal to Karanadakshay Vishnu? Please enlighten us.
Is Paramatma equal to...
Is Paramatma, so Mataji is saying, is Paramatma equal to Karanadakshay Vishnu?
Karanadakshay Vishnu is also Mahavishnu. It's just another name for Mahavishnu. He is and he isn't. Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. The different manifestations of the spiritual. The Lord in his different incarnations and expansions are all one. So then in the oneness, they are the same, but they also have different functions. Therefore, they're different. And so we accept the principle of simultaneously one and different. So just like Lord Krishna and Balaram are both the Supreme Lord, so in that sense they're one, but in another sense they're different. They have different characteristics. And so the spirit manifests in varieties of forms and characteristics and reasons, but the principle of spirit and incarnation of manifestation is one, for to perform activities for the benefit of the conditioned souls or to facilitate the activities of creation, either way. So if you understand that things can be one and different at the same time, then you understand, then you'll get a little understanding of spirit.
Thank you, Mataji, for this wonderful question. We would request you to join all the Bhagavatam class every day that we hold here. So the more you hear, it's so wonderful. And no questions are silly, Mataji. Thank you for your kind association. Please keep joining. From Hemi Mataji, we have a question. Maharaj, she says that, how do we tell if we are serious in our devotional service? I think I'm serious, but then when I'm doing inattentive chanting, I feel definitely something is not right. So if you could kindly guide all of us.
Well, if you're serious, you put your spiritual life foremost. If you're not, then you put it somewhere else in the line of life's activities. Even if you are struggling, that doesn't matter. That's incidental. Everyone struggles. But if you put it as the most important part of your life, then you're serious. And if you act in that way also. Because spiritual life is life. Material life is a reflection of the reality. It has no reality of itself. It's like the mirror that's reflecting the object. The object is reflected in the mirror, but the mirror, there is no life in the mirror, although it looks like it. So this material world is simply a reflection of the reality. There's no reality here. That is called Maya or illusion. Reality is the spiritual existence. Reality is our relationship with the Supreme Lord. A relationship with the material world is temporary and it's based on a false premise, and that is the body, because the body is not the person. The body is just the covering over the person. Reality is spiritual. And if you make spiritual life foremost, keep it foremost in your day-to-day life, then you are, you can categorize yourself as being serious.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, just piggybacking on the question, when you mentioned to us that, yes, it's this material life, it's just a reflection. So when we have Paramatma inside us, do we have a reflection of Paramatma inside us?
No, the Paramatma is there, but it's in the soul. Well, actually, it's next to the soul, sitting in the body next to it, sitting on the heart along with the soul, two souls in one body. So it's not a reflection. Paramatma is there, but he doesn't touch the material energy. Although he apparently is in the material energy, he doesn't touch it. Just like oil and water, you can bring them together, but they don't mix. So similar, the Lord doesn't mix with the material energy. But he's there in his personal feature as Paramatma within the heart. He also has a transcendental form too.
Yes, Maharaj, then sometimes we feel the presence of Paramatma. We feel that we get a response, and sometimes we don't. So are we doing something wrong, or
You're always getting a response, whether you can hear it or not. That's the qualification. He's constantly dictating to you what you should be doing. And it says only when the mind and senses are fully controlled, then the super soul is reached. Then happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, heat and cold appear all the same. So when the mind and senses are fully controlled, then you can connect with super soul in the heart. And then that's that voice that comes to the surface of your mind when the mind and senses are fully controlled. That is the Lord. It's not the loud voice. That the loud voice is your false ego. It's the sweet, soft voice. But we can't hear it because we're listening to the loud voice all the time. We listen to our mind instead of listening to the scriptures. Therefore, if you want to hear super soul, best thing is to just hear from the spiritual master, who is a manifestation of the super soul appearing externally. Then you can hear super soul through the spiritual master. And when you become advanced enough, then you can hear super soul directly.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. So you're probably enjoying every second association with Super Soul. That's so wonderful.
Don't get sentimental. Come on.
Hare Krishna.
That's very wonderful, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for wonderful class. Very nice glorification of Advaita Acharya. Thank you so much.
Yam Gauri Nitya Kishori Preacha Kishirati Yam Gauri Nitya Kishori Jirahu Yeshirati.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your wonderful association.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my next trip to the planet Charlotte, somewhere in the material world.
So when are you coming, Maharaj?
This year. When? Only God knows.
Please come, Maharaj.
It'll be this year.
Really, thank you, Mataji.
Wonderful, Shambhuri Mataji. So blessed. So nice to hear. We have a quick question on the chat from Bhagavati Harim. And she says that, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. There are many protecting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Narayana Kavach. Then why did His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, why did suggest only Narsimha Arati? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You want to try doing the Nrisimha Kavach? Good luck. It's not easy. But we don't worship Lord Nrisimha only for protection. That's one of the features. We worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the compassionate manifestation, who gives protection, who destroys illusions, and who uproots sinful desires from the heart to those who pray. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jate Jase Avir Avir Bhava Rajanaka Rajadamstra Kamasayan Radaya Radaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Avayam Avayam Atmani Bhuyasta Om Shram. So that's Prahlad Maharaj's praying. Please sit in our hearts and rip apart on our desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Grant us fearlessness so we can worship you in devotion. So it's not that we just worship Lord Nisringadev as a security guard. That's not the program.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for helping us understand. And there's one Mataji, Radha Jyoti Mataji. She says that she hears your lecture on focus and she is so grateful that it gives her so much strength.
Thank you. I'm happier you're getting strength.
I had seen Ishopanishad's Mataji's hand raised. Mataji, do you have a question for His Holiness?
Yes, Hare Krishna. Two things, Maharaj. There was a question in the chat about Lord Swedweta's name. When he was born, he was called. It's in the chat. Mataji, would you look in the chat and see what that question was? Was that someone wanted to know why was his name changed or what was that? I didn't get
his name. His name was Mangala when he was born.
Okay, Mangala. So who changed it?
Yeah, he says that why and how was his name as Advaita Acharya given, though his parents name him Kamalaksha or Kamalkanta? That's Shiromani Nandarani Mataji asking.
I read the verse. He's called Advaita because he is non-dual. He's called Acharya because he teaches the process of. So the name indicates his characteristics. That's all. That wasn't an official name change. That's a title given to him. That's
the title.
And who gave that title, Maharaj?
I have to go back a little bit and see where how it appeared. But he's also a member of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva, Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa, Sarupakam, Bhakta Avataram. So he's Bhakta Avataram. He's the incarnation of devotional service.
The other thing, Maharaj, thank you so much for that sweet, sweet pastime. Every time I hear how Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, went to, what was he at? Shantipur? And yeah. Prayed?
Yeah, Shantipur, yeah.
Yeah, that is just so touching. And the play that he was in. How old was Srila Prabhupada when he did that play? Was he a young man or?
Yeah, that's the word that was used. He was a young man.
Mm-hmm. Jai.
That's the only way we, well, that's how it was described. When he was a young man, he played that part.
Jai, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, devotees, for such wonderful questions. Thank you for such an interactive session. Please go ahead, unmute yourself, unmute your videos. Turn on your videos, I mean, so Maharaj can glance at you, bless you, and go ahead with any last-minute questions that you might have.
If you get my blessings, you may be unhappy.
All right.
Maharaj, you're thinking long term.
One other thing, Maharaj. When were you coming to Ohio? You always go to Pennsylvania. So when will you be coming to Ohio? To Cleveland.
Where's planet Ohio? Where is it?
Hare Krishna.
I'll be coming.
I don't even think you can see it. On the planet, on the earth.
Somewhere.
incredible.
Yeah, we'll come because they're going to open a temple pretty soon in Columbus, right?
Yes. And also, we're celebrating Sri Sri Radha Muralidhar, the 50th anniversary celebration. Are you going to be here for that? It's in July.
What's the date?
It's July the 21st. And in
Oh.
Cleveland, it's July the 27th. Come on.
We'll see what Krishna arranges.
Jai Maharaj, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. Chandramali Swami Ki Jai, Hari Bol.
Yay.
Okay.
You're ending the session.
Blessings to all of you. Panchakalpa Tarubhas Chakra.
Yes, Kripa, Sindhu Bevi,
Chakra,